This is Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
Welcome to a special feature today with author and speaker Sarah Daigle. I'm Carolyn Klicka, Catholic divorce healing coach with Abounding Joy Ministry. And listeners, if you're going through a time of crisis or pain, if you need to regain hope, then be sure to tune in. So Sarah, our founder at Carolina Catholic Media Network, David Papandrea, he found your work somehow and was intrigued by your message. And he thought that listeners would really benefit from hearing from you. And since you and I both work in helping others to heal, it's a perfect topic for you and I to discuss together.
Thanks for having me, Carolyn.
It's a delight. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about your background. I understand that you grew up actually in an Amish community.
Yes, I did. It was unique, obviously. I grew up driving a horse and buggy to school, 45 minutes on the road, 0 degree weather. So there was no pampered life. You know, our clothes were homemade. So they were not, we didn't have thick snow pants on our legs. We had cotton dresses, usually with no tights or anything underneath. So we were trained early on, just naturally by our lifestyle, to be tough, to toughen up, to be disciplined. And I think that's how I was raised. So there was a rigorous lifestyle. And then there was also just a really good family structure. I had really wonderful parents and 9 siblings. So there was a scheduled family life with 3 meals a day around the big table and home-cooked food. And I remember, it's funny, I remember people walking in saying, "You eat like kings." And I was like, "What? Like, we eat, you know, our own butchered chickens and meat and homegrown vegetables and homemade bread." And I didn't feel like we ate like kings, but now I understand. Now that I shop at the store for my food, I'm like, yeah, we really did eat like kings. The simple good life. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so you grew up in the Amish community, and how did you meet your husband?
Well, let's see. My ex-husband was not from an Amish community. By this time, we were in a Mennonite community, which means we had gotten our first car and turned on the light switches of our house. And that was quite a big change, switching from Amish to Mennonite. Obviously, I lost all my friends overnight and started new at 14 years old.
Wow.
Just making that. We were basically still like the Amish, but with cars, but that was not acceptable. So we were kicked out quite quickly for that. But in that community, we attracted a lot of people from outside of the community who also wanted just a more conservative lifestyle, like no TV and, you know, family structure. And so we attracted a lot of people from outside of the community. And this family from Washington State moved all the way to Michigan to be a part of this little church springing up. And that's how I met my husband. They had 4 boys. So it was just kind of a different flavor coming in. And I was intrigued because it was different than anything I had known. And that's how I met. He worked for my father and we became best friends and got married after dating for about a year. We got married and had 4 children. So,
yeah. Wow. Wow. That sounds idyllic, you know, beautiful life and marriage, children. And I know, Sarah, from knowing you personally, that you have a vibrant relationship with Christ. How did that come about?
I think through my life, that is anything but idyllic. giving you this short recap, it can sound idyllic, but it was not. My ex-husband, as I said before, he was from outside the community. So very, very soon after we got married, he wanted to leave. And my dad is a pastor, so it was quite personal, you know, for me and my family and, you know, our new marriage now for my new husband and I to leave. But we did. And I remember that really rocked me because I had never known anything but a very close, tightly knit family and community. And when we left, it really rocked me. And I spent a few years, I think, seeking God on a deeply personal level because I was so rocked. I didn't know if I had ever really found God. At 14, I had accepted Jesus and trusted him to forgive my sins. But I kind of, my upbringing as an Amish child really taught me to be good. And so I was very conscientious and always trying to be good. So I applied that to my Christian walk to be good enough for God. And if I'm not good enough for God, I'll lose my salvation, you know, that type of feeling every day. And that just doesn't work with the Lord. That's not what it's like to know the Lord deeply. It's not about me, it's about him. So when we moved from Michigan out to Idaho, away from my family, I just kept seeking, 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 and life got more and more difficult, which I'll touch on later. But through it all, I found Jesus in such a deeply personal way where it had nothing to do with my own works. But I remember the light bulb went on when I realized that faith was simply laying my head on Jesus's chest and staying there. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it was not as striving. And I remember going, oh, wow, okay, I can do that. And I didn't have to figure it out anymore or do it just right. And from then on, it just became deeper, 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 more and more real to when crisis hit me later, I was able to walk with God in a way like that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yes, you're so right in that. Like, no matter how good, obedient, how attentive we are, what checklist that we check off every day and all the things that we do to try to be a good Christian or a good child of God, that we ultimately can never do enough. There's not enough we can do to achieve that relationship, but it's that bonding, it's that trust and that intimacy with Christ. That's really key. So, well, Sarah, I understand that you, like myself, went through a tragic divorce, and that you had prior to that you had 4 children?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you and I have spoken personally, and we share, you know, some real things in common, and our stories are obviously different as well. But what was that experience like for you to be in a marriage that's difficult and end up in divorce, and what effects did it have on you?
Well, a lot of deeply negative and wounding effects. So I think basically the worst of it happened when my husband started mentioning a potential open marriage and tied porn use into that as well. And this is where it gets difficult to share, but I will anyway for our listeners, because I know there's a lot of listeners out there going through a lot that nobody knows about and they don't know how to find help and courage in it. So I want them not to do what I did, which was shut down and lock up and basically submit. I didn't submit to the idea of an open marriage. I agreed to research it and study it. And my ex-husband used the Old Testament to talk to me about potential, you know, the rightness of polygamy, maybe. And he would always say, "I'm not sure what I believe," but I discovered later that he was into pornography with that same justification. Like, it's, you know, it's not wrong to see more than one naked woman. And so the hardest part for me was, I think that I just didn't know how to speak up. I didn't know how to reach out for help. I was still under that mindset that my husband's reputation was my responsibility. But what it did was that it wrecked me internally. And no matter how hard I tried to just keep going being a good wife, I mean, we had sex all the time. I, you know, packed his lunches, cleaned the house, homeschooled the kids. I had another baby in that type of emotional distress that I was under. But I just tried so hard to be loved by being perfect, by being a good wife. And, or, you know, I would give birth to a child and work really hard to get right back in shape, like, as quickly as possible, so that I would be as attractive as possible and could compete with this porn idea or this other woman idea. And I know better now. You know, I know that good men, they just don't make a wife feel that way. Like, that's not what being a good wife is all about. But I was desperate. I think, looking back, I know that I was severely codependent on my marriage. The worst thing that could happen to me was a divorce. And that's exactly what happened, but not before many, many years of me struggling under all of that distress and finally going for individual counseling. I wanted to go with my husband. He didn't want to do that, not to people I trusted and wanted to talk to. So I went alone, and I just remember I was so nervous to open up, but I chose an older male counselor first because I wanted to know if what I was hearing in my marriage was true, that I was jealous, too jealous, and that I was to this or to that. I had a feeling that as soon as I would open my mouth, the counselor would understand, and he did. And I had barely said anything before he said, "You know, Sarah, are you sure this is the man you want to grow old with?" And my response was, "I will never divorce him. Like, I am with him unless he's with other women, regardless of what he says or what he studies, you know." So that was my take there. And it was very, very emotionally damaging until I learned to speak up. And when, as I was learning to speak up, I started writing what God was teaching me in marriage. And that's how one of the books came to be, is just, I saw this beautiful thing where being a supportive wife did not mean being a silent wife.
Right. Well, I can't wait for you to get into more of that. We want to hear more about that. After the break, we're going to come back and we're going to discuss how you went from that devastation and that place of being locked in and pain to being at peace with where your life is now. So stay tuned.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling Field Agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Welcome back to Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
Okay, we're back with Sarah Daigle, speaker, writer, divorced single mom of 4 growing kids. And before the break, we talked about, Sarah, how you were raised in an Amish community, how you went through a very difficult marriage situation. And so, tell us about how did your divorce take place and how did you get back on your feet emotionally?
That's a loaded question. My divorce happened after 18 years of marriage. He packed his bags and walked out the door around 15 and a half years of marriage. And that happened after just we couldn't agree on porn use and all kinds of things. And I had learned by then that I did not have to agree to that, that I did not have to live like that. I wasn't going to leave him. I was not in a place where I could see divorce as an option, but I was able to verbally stand up to him much better after getting help, mentorship, counseling, people basically on either side of me helping me learn how to find my voice. And then I think that was kind of the clincher where I remember he looked at me one day and he said, "So it's your way or no way?" And I said, "Yes, in this one area." Not in other areas, you know, I'm willing to give on other areas, but in this one area, yes. So he did. He packed his bags and I was devastated. And then he started hanging out a lot with a 15-year-old girl. And then I realized when she turned 16 that he openly was sleeping with her and had my kids around all that. And my kids were in a lot of trauma because that was their friend. And so I went through just years of investigations, court and all of that. But in the end, the courts allowed me to move from Washington State to North Carolina with my four children, and I was able to start over. So that was a great blessing for me, just to be able to get away and not be 5 minutes down the street from that kind of traumatic. It was really, really traumatic for me and for the kids.
You got a fresh start. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was so helpful for you. And what are some of the other practical things that you did that were very helpful in terms of helping you to heal?
Well, when I was still in Washington State with everything going on, obviously that was just a lot to live with for a few years. I was there 2 years, and in those 2 years, there was investigations, court. It was nonstop difficulty. And I was trying to also, learn business, get business training, run my Airbnb, run the house, and try to be a good mom to my kids. I had put them in public school. So it was a lot every day emotionally. But a few things I did that really helped me was I branched out and started doing things that I had always wanted to do and never did. I went skydiving. I dropped 2 miles in the air, 2 miles high. And I just remember just that exhilarating feeling of doing something that was greater than me and greater than what I was going through. Like, I had to overcome a lot of fear to be hurled out of a plane 2 miles in the air.
Wow, so, I give you a lot of credit. I don't think I could ever do that.
And then it was ironic. When the parachute popped open and I was soaring instead of falling, because first you tumble and then the parachute. So you fall for a mile and you're literally feel like you're spinning in the air. Then you spread your wings and fly. And then the parachute pops open and it's like you're sitting in the air, but you're dropping. And I was soaring right above my ex-husband's academy where he had been trained as a state trooper. And I remember thinking, this is really cool. I'm going through a lot, but I'm soaring in such a significant place for me. So I did that and I went camping. I hiked a lot up into just the most beautiful snow-capped mountains. Once I did a solo hike of 10 miles out to a lighthouse on the beach. Wow. Things like that really helped me a lot.
Wow, awesome. Well, you have received a lot of healing in your life, thinking about how difficult and how devastating those times were to getting a fresh start and doing some things to revive you, revive your spirit. And so what is your life like now?
As a single mom, I feel like my life is blessed. It's not easy, but it's blessed. And I think it's blessed more than anything. I just have peace. I have peace with the divorce. I am thankful, actually, to be out of my marriage. I'm thankful that I learned how to be autonomous, how I learned how to find my voice and exercise it. But I won't lie and say that my life is easy. I have a business to run, jobs to do, clients and employees, plus children and all of their needs. So at the end of the day, I pour out a lot, I give out a lot. And then, all of us single moms know that there's no one there to meet our needs at the end of the day. So I won't pretend that it's easy, because it's not, but I do have peace. And I know that only comes from radical acceptance. In one of my therapy sessions, the therapist talked to me about radical acceptance and what that does. And it was from a secular point of view, but I tied it into my faith, like, mm-hmm. God, I radically accept that I'm a divorced woman. I'm a single mom. I still have children to help through things that they have not yet overcome because of what they've been through. And I just accept that. And I find peace with the Lord. I find friendship with God, like deep intimacy with God. And as long as I don't lose that, when you look at Jesus, you become like Jesus, and things happen in your soul by, quote, accident, that I used to only strive for. I used to work so hard to find the peace that I now have by accident.
Yeah.
To Jesus like that.
Yeah. And Sarah, you talk about radical acceptance, and I just want to interject here. The acceptance that we need is not an acceptance that says we accept and say it's okay, all the bad things that happened to us. That's the confusing part. We still can stay in the truth and say, this was not good. These things that happened to me were not good. They were tragic. They were unjust. They were whatever we think they were. But we can say, those were not okay. But I accept that now the reality that I have is this. I accept that I have to be the sole breadwinner. It's not good. It's not right. It shouldn't be, but I accept that it is. And it's that acceptance versus trying to, as you said, always trying to push against and wrestling with it instead of, I love the image that you gave of just resting your head on the chest of Jesus, that we just say, I surrender that this is what it is. And I trust that you will give me the strength and the grace to carry out what is the reality of what is. And there's really a freedom and a peace that comes in that.
Yes. And it ties back into forgiveness, which we haven't even touched on, but forgiveness is a powerful thing. And it never means saying everything's okay. In fact, I put up such strong boundaries, like no contact, and moved to the opposite coast. So I never had to say that things were okay because they weren't, but I could release it and forgive. And that, I think, is one of the greatest key factors to finding freedom and healing.
Yes. Yes. I've heard it said that forgiveness is like having an invoice with all these line items that you have to pay, that there's this debt, and that the line items are there because of all the costs are real. All the things that happen are real, and they had a cost. And so we've got this big expensive invoice that this person is, owes us in a sense, or at least in our mind, and that we just put a cancel stamp. We don't eliminate the line items. We just put that cancel stamp and say, this invoice, although it was a huge amount, it's no longer due. And isn't that what Christ does with us, with our sins, that, we can't possibly pay for all the sins that we have committed. And he just, when we are repentant, he puts that cancel sign on our invoice, on our list of sins. It's not that those are okay when we commit them. It's not okay when, our husband or whoever else, but that in that canceling of the debt, we receive freedom, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Sarah, I know that you're a speaker and a writer. And so how can people get in touch with you?
Well, there's my blog, and that is my name, sarah-daigle.org, and that's sarah-daigle.org. Sorry. And then you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. And I love being there for people. I have people reach out to me in crisis, and that's why I'm here. So for any of our listeners, if you want to contact me, I am so happy to encourage you in person, over the phone, send me a message, we can talk. I really enjoy doing that. So that's my invitation to anyone who might want to talk.
Yes, that's a beautiful offer. And there are so many people out there. And just in closing, we just want to say to the listeners, if you're in pain, if you're struggling, reach out to help to someone, because there is hope and healing. The evil one wants us in isolation. He wants us in pain. He wants us divided. And he tells us the lie that no one will understand and that, you know, no one can, no one will approve of us, that we need to hide and be strong by ourselves and pretend and put on the mask. And it's not true. We're all in this together, and we need to help each other. And so, Sarah, that's what you do. You know, that's what I do and committed to do at Abounding Joy Ministry. And I'm just delighted that we've had this all too brief but wonderful time together. So thanks for listening, and thanks for joining us here on Carolina Catholic Media Network.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Carolina Catholic Media Showcase. For more information about us and to support our nonprofit mission of broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ, visit CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and follow, friend, and like us on social media by searching for Carolina Catholic Radio.